Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother Tupos with DontParish.com. We are back to do a verse-by-verse study. We're working our way through the book of Philippians. We're in the last chapter, chapter 4. Today, we're going to be going through verses 6 through 10. You can go to DontParish.com, look for the verse-by-verse tab, get caught up in all the rest of the Philippians study and all the rest of the other verse-by-verse studies that I've done. But today, we're going to be doing Philippians 4. Verses 6 through 10. Let's get right at it. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Awesome verse. A lot there. I hope you can hear me. We're parked at a truck stop tonight, but it's right near a nice little lake, but the highway's right there, so the highway's kind of loud. Maybe you can hear it, maybe you can't. All right. So the first word we want to look at, be careful for nothing. That word careful, it really means to be troubled, anxious, or to worry. So basically, Brother Paul is saying, don't worry about anything. That little statement right there is a very large point to us in the Christian faith. Sadly, most people ignore it, and they do the opposite. Most people that claim Christ, sadly, myself included, if I'm not careful, can worry, fret, focus on things that we ought not, and we should not be concerned with that. And Paul's telling us, be careful for nothing. Don't be worried about anything. That's what he's saying to us here. And Jesus makes a very clear point of that as well. Not only Paul, Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Let me read this to you. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature? That's like an inch to us. Why take ye thought for raiment, that be clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Therefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you need of these things. My favorite verse, one of my favorite. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So Jesus gives us a clear recipe on not to be worried. You know, that doesn't mean we don't work. That doesn't mean we don't get some food and plant. That doesn't mean we don't clothe our bodies biblically. He's saying don't worry about how you're going to do those things. Don't stress yourself like the Gentiles are concerned about every last thing. We trust in our Heavenly Father. Amen. And then Paul goes on and gives us a remedy for how we can carry this out in our faith life, not worrying. Ready? He says, in everything, that's everything, saints. that means nothing's excluded. In everything, he says, by prayer. That word in the Greek is prosyuke. It's an oratory oratory words to God in a sense of worship kind of thing. So makes sense, just what we all think it is. Praying to God, words to God, talking to our Heavenly Father. Paul reminds us to pray unceasingly, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So prayer is the beginning of not worrying, that's what Paul's saying. And then he uses the word supplication, deesis. And it's a prayer, but it's a little bit different. Instead of a prayer of just worship to God, a prayer of just speaking to God as your Heavenly Father, it's a petition for a need or a want. Supplication. Father, I come to you and I'm lacking this and I need it. Father, I need this. I need a job. Please supply. Father, my child is sick. If it's your will, can you heal them? So it's a petition, a supplication. So we're getting this recipe here. Don't worry about anything. And how you fix that, how you deal with that, is by prayer and going to God and asking Him for something. It's an asking. It's a supplication. James says, we have not because we ask not. James 4:2. Ye have not because ye ask not. So consider that. Don't worry. Go to your Heavenly Father in prayer by supplication, asking for your needs to be met. And then your Father, who's a good Father, is going to take care of that. That's how we cannot worry. And then Paul says, with thanksgiving. So here's another part of the recipe. So by prayer, we go and we ask, and then we're thankful for the situation we're in. I remind you, Paul is writing this from prison, and he used the word rejoice 10, 11 times. He's writing this letter to the Philippians from jail. So even in our need, even in our lack, we should be giving God thanksgiving. And then we ask for what we need, and we believe with a thankful heart that the Father's will is going to be done. That's how we keep from worrying. We don't worry about the situation. We don't worry about our abilities. We don't worry about circumstances to come or what we're in. We trust in the Father. He's over all these things. He's sovereign, and He will take care of them for us and meet our needs. Jesus just promised, seek the kingdom and His righteousness, and everything else will be added. Do you believe Jesus' words? I do. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called into one body, and be ye thankful. So there's that peace, that joy, that kara that we get inside ourselves, and be thankful right where we are. Because everything around us is going to fade away, isn't it? Yeah. We need to be thankful for where we are. Everything's going to fade. We trust in eternal things, things that are incorruptible, not that which is corruptible. Let's look at a verse that gives us the opposite of being thankful, shall we? Romans 1:21. Because that they, when they knew not, they glorified Him. I'm sorry. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So there's people that aren't thankful, and their hearts become darkened. So thanksgiving is the proper heart by which we can go in prayer and supplication, asking for something, and that's how we approach the throne of God. And in the book of Hebrews, it tells us because of what Christ has done, we can approach it boldly. Why? We're thankful for the perfect finished work of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Thankfulness for the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So again, we're continuing on this recipe Paul gives us. Prayer, supplication, asking, thankfulness. And then he says, let your requests be made known to God. So this is how we avoid worry and strife and all that. We let our issues, our problems, we talk to our Heavenly Father, we let it be known, and then we trust in Him. Have you ever pondered why this is? If God already knows everything, the beginning from the end, the Alpha, the Omega, why do we need to make things known to Him that we need if He knows everything? Have you ever pondered that? I did many years ago. I think there's a lot of different ways to answer it, but I think the answer to that is, let's consider why there's a written Word of God. Does God need the Bible? No. Who's it for? It's for us. It's our guide. It's our edification training, and it's a guiding beacon home to the Father. And so also by going to God with our needs, supplication, prayer, thanksgiving, we're learning and we're practicing and we're training ourselves. Guess what? He's the source that we go to. He's the source of everything good that we need. If God just grants everything we need without us ever asking for it, is there a chance in our fallen nature that we could take for granted His source and not really be looking to Him with a thankful heart and realizing we need Him and be relying on Him? And we may go into more sin and stiff-necked ways, like Israel, like the world and a lot of the church folks around us today. Yeah, take a look at Israel. Take a look at our culture. Take a look at churchianity. Mankind is filling his own needs, he thinks, via science, entertainment, psychology, money, false ways, and they've forgotten the true Father in heaven. So that's why I believe that we are to go before God. It reminds us always who's our supplier, Who is sustaining us? Who gives us life and breath? Who's the giver and taker of all things, giver and taker of life? So let us remember, let us go to prayer with supplication, asking, make our requests known in a thankful heart. That's the recipe in that first verse that Paul's giving us, to not be worried, to not be anxious about what's going on in our life. Isn't that beautiful? Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. All right, this is a groundbreaking promise to us. It's worth more than all the riches Solomon had, the peace of God. Irene, quiet, stillness, rest, and tranquility. It's a lot like Kara, what the Holy Spirit gives you, joy, inner calm, and peace. This peace of God comes via the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his finished work, our repentance and belief to him, being born from above when we're willing to obey and lose this life, to walk in holiness and obedience and sound doctrine, and endure in the faith. That's the gospel. And that's what the Holy Spirit brings us, that inner calm, that joy, that Kara. And that's the peace of God. No matter our circumstances, we can have this. We can rise above it. Peace and joy. It's eternal. It's incorruptible. It's unmovable, saints. Everything else in your life is corruptible and movable, but not the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the promises of God. And then Paul says this, a verse everybody talks about. It passes all understanding. What exactly does that mean? You know, we could say that, but do we understand that it passes all understanding? That's kind of a double meaning there. What does it mean? Well, passes, hupereko. It means it's superior, far above, rises to the top. It's the best. Yeah, God's the best. The Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and end. He's the best, right? So that's what that word passes mean. And then all understanding. The Greek word is nous. It means it cannot be grasped by the human mind or intellect. Yeah, this is where intellectualism is very dangerous. People think they can assent to knowing all about God by using their intelligence they've learned through books and college and tests and degrees. Man's always tried to grasp God that way, by his little finite mind, versus knowing God in his word by the Spirit and his infinite ways. It's like trying to totally understand eternity, the universe, or the concept of three in one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as one. It's mind-blowing to us that have finite minds. We must trust and believe by faith and look at what Scripture has given us. That's it. As soon as we start making up more than it is there, we're adding to God's Word, we're in danger of the sin of adding to God's Word, plagues and being blotted out, taking away and adding to God's Word. You get plagues and blotted out of the book of life. What does God say about this in the Old Testament? Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Yeah, God's ways aren't our ways. We got to be careful trying to figure everything out. If he hasn't told it to us clearly in Scripture, we're not supposed to know any more than he's given us to know. We must trust and walk in that accordingly. We trust God that his Spirit, his Word, the peace in us via the Spirit, it's doing its perfect work in us. And we're not fully going to grasp everything that the Word doesn't tell us. So stop trying. It passes all understanding. Don't try to figure out, how am I feeling peaceful in the midst of all this turmoil around me? Like when I street preach and I have turmoil all around me, police, mockers, haters, noise, all this garbage. But I have peace. I don't try to figure that out. I just know it's a work of the Holy Spirit, and I just trust in it, and I just am thankful, and I walk in it. I think it would be really prideful if I spend my time, my energy, my resources trying to figure out God in those ways, because we can't. So I'd encourage you just to trust him via the faith that he gives us, and it's required. You can't please God without faith, Hebrews 11 tells us. So trust God. Trust what he's doing in you. Trust what his word says. Don't trust your intellectualism. You're not that smart. Neither am I. No one is. And then he says, this peace we can't fully grasp will keep our hearts and minds. So this peace that we can't fully understand, it's going to keep our hearts and our minds. He says to keep. Forino. It's to protect, watch, and guard. Yeah, if you keep something, like you keep your wallet in your pocket, you keep your keys, you keep your children, you're protecting them, you're watching them, you're on guard over them. So the peace of the Holy Spirit protects us so that we can endure in the faith, because we're not done yet. Our faith race isn't done, is it? No. We must endure to the end. That's part of the gospel. So it will keep our hearts and our minds, cardia. That's the Greek word. It must be where we get this word cardio for our heart. It's the thoughts and what goes on in our minds. That's what this is. So the peace of God will keep and protect our thoughts and our mind. So guess what? You got to think about that. If you don't have the peace of God in you via the Holy Spirit, you're not going to be able to guard your heart, your mind, your thoughts. You're not going to be able to take every thought captive, casting down every imagination. So this peace of God is really important. You need to go to God in prayer, supplication, asking, thanksgiving, and then ask him for that peace of God. I helped a brother with that not long ago, and it really helped him to see that God wanted him to have peace, that he could walk in peace, and that he was just allowing his flesh to keep him from it. And then it says, so that will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. That's the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. His Spirit has sent to us ever since Acts 2, and he makes us overcomers. Isn't that awesome? Revelation says he'll bring his reward to all those who overcome and reward every man for his deeds. So thankfully, by these verses we're reading in Philippians, we know God's working in us by his Spirit, guiding, protecting, keeping our hearts and minds. Philippians 1:6, I did this study earlier in this series. Being confident of this very thing, that he that which began a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's going to do his work. Guess what? We got to work with him. We're in unison. We're in a covenant. We have a part to do. We must continue with him. We must help God work within us. Yeah, that sounds like, oh, God can't do it. No, God can do anything, but he allows us by our will. He doesn't give us. He doesn't take our will from us. He allows us to give our will to him. It's the only thing God requires. He really asks for our will and our love, and that leads to obedience and holiness. So, recapping, by this verse, we know that his peace passes our understanding. But if we trust it, the Spirit, via Christ, will guide our thoughts and our minds, and it's going to aid us in our walk of eternal life till the end. That is just glorious to think about. That peace of God, that Spirit in us doing all of this work within us. And if you think about this, the opposite is terrifying. Ready? Without the peace of God via Christ and the gospel via the Spirit, our thoughts and minds, as I said, can't be kept. And we're going to be left to our own fleshly carnal ways. Ultimately, that will lead to death, sin, Satan's destruction. You see how important this peace of God is? It's very important. That first verse tells us to ask God for things. Ties in here, doesn't it? So if you lack the peace of God, you need to go test yourself, see if you're living in willful sin, see why you don't have it, then cry out to the Father so that you can have it. So then you can guide your heart and mind and walk in Christ to be victorious. Verse number 8. Oh, one of my favorite verses. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. I call this my filter verse. Everything you do in your life, say in your life, what you spend your time, your money, your energy on, your associations, what you preach, should be put through this filter of Philippians 4:8. And what comes out the other end is what God approves of. Ponder that. If it doesn't come out the other end, that means God's filter blocked it out. Throw it in the garbage. It's not worthy of his kingdom or your time. This was a bedrock verse for Sister Amin and I, my wife, when we started our walk. It's our testing verse, our filter by which we purify our lives, still do to this day. Let's go through these words. I just want to give you the definitions. Nothing more is needed than give you the definitions of these words. Ready? Brother Paul tells us, whatsoever things are true. Well, that's whatever's true versus lies. Pretty self-explanatory right there. Honest. That means honorable, revered, and venerable. That means what's honorable before God. Just. Whatsoever is just. That means equitable, holy, and righteous. Yeah. Whatever's pure. That means a clean, sacred, innocent thing. Not much in the world that is that, is there? Nope. Not much at all. How about lovely? The world has a definition for that, but what's the definition biblically? Acceptable, pleasing to God and not the world or the flesh. It's basically what that is, what's acceptable and a pleasing. And then he says good report. That's what's reputable, well-sounding, well-spoken of. So like an elder or teacher should have a good reputation. All the saints should have a good reputation, not be a liar or a cheat, not be lazy, things like that. So they have a good report. Somebody comes to me and say, hey, what say you about this brother or this sister? Hey, I have a good report. Not, uh-oh, lots of issues there. So you want to have a good report. Reputable, well-sounding, well-spoken of. How about virtue? Whatsoever is virtuous. Moral goodness and excellence. Is that you? Is that me? Is that my house? Is that your house? Is that our body? Is that your body? Should be. It's what we're supposed to be about. And the last one, praise. Whatever's a commendable thing. So think about God and his character and nature. What's commendable to God? Rowdy, carnal, worldly NFL? Hollywood movies? Idle sports and idolatrous hobbies? No. None of that's a commendable thing. So think about those words. Go back and read Philippians 4:8 and think on these. And in doing that, we're going to help God in keeping ourselves in and of Christ. And we're not then going to be of the world. We won't fall as much so into pride, vanity, sin, that Satan's kingdom around us, the world's culture, it flaunts daily and tries to lure us in. It does. Gives us things to look at, things to experience. Satan's kingdom is all around us, sports, politics, movies, entertainment, churchianity. But we want to stay separate from that. Philippians 4:8 will help us do that. So this is a testing, 1 Thess 5, test and prove all things. And it's a practice of everyday practice that's going to go a long way in helping God. Yes, we help God. We're working in a covenant like a husband helps a wife and a wife helps a husband. We're in a covenant. It's two-sided, not one-sided. There's no such thing as the unconditional love of God. God always has conditions. Yep, I've got articles on that at the teaching blog. And so we're helping God. We're working with him, not against him. We're not living in sin after sin and willful sin. Oh, we can fall into sin, but we repent of it. We don't live in it, walk in it. And we keep our minds in Christ, free from sin, flesh, the fallen culture around us that will destroy us. That gives Satan, the roaring lion, 1 Peter 5:8, less chance to seek us and devour us. And we can help each other in this. Our brothers and sisters do this. How can we help each other? Ready? Hebrews 3:13-14. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Yeah, we're to encourage and exhort each other every single day, saints. It says over 50 times in the New Testament to one another each other. The saints should be about one anothering each other. So we're to be about these set apart holy ways, not ungodly things of the world. And that's for our everyday walk, not just your church service, not just when you gather with saints, not just your 10-minute devotion in the morning, which you shouldn't be doing that anyway, your whole life. Like one of the animals sacrificed in the Old Testament was thrown on a fire and it was consumed. Your whole life should be consumed by the truth, the word, and the ways of God. Paul is showing us that way as an example. And verse 9 right here tells us that for sure. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the peace of God shall be with you. So Paul's giving us more practical advice among all the other things we just learned. He tells us to take heed to his words, his teaching, his example. That word is tupos, an example. I want to be an example. The example of him, and to not just see it, but be a doer. James says, be a doer, not just a hearer. Paul also echoed this in 1 Corinthians 11:1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. That word, better translated, followers, means imitate. King James kind of dropped the ball there. We don't follow Paul. We imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. We're all following Christ. We're all disciples of Christ. And he makes an amazing claim. If you do this, the peace of God shall be with you. Well, that's along with all these other things. We don't pull the word of God out of context and build on it alone. We use scripture to help us build on scripture. So you see what God's word is saying. is that he's going to help us via praying, supplication, asking for things. Then Paul says we help ourselves by staying in these good, pure, and true things, Philippians 4:8. And it's the faith and the works action of this blood covenant we're in that continues to cleanse us, hold us close, keeps our mind, keeps our thoughts, and it's not going to hinder us. We don't want to hinder God's work in us by willful sin, rebellion, worldly lives. We want to labor towards him to help him in his work in us to become obedient and holy. Draw near to God. He draws near to you. See that covenant you're working there? Yeah, the churchianity system says you don't have to do nothing. James says draw near to God, then he'll draw near to you. The prodigal son had to repent and come home before the father could receive him. Yeah, I hope you see that point. How about this verse? 1 Peter 1, 21-22. Whom by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit into unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Do you see that? You have purified your souls by obeying the truth. And then we end up loving each other, because if my brother's obeying the truth and I'm obeying the truth and my sister's obeying the truth, guess what? We're all going to love each other and be united. Isn't that awesome? And then he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That is a sign that we are his people, that we love each other. John 13. So awesome promises here in these few verses about not to worry and how to carry things out. Last verse right here. How to carry things out to see us through in this faith walk. Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now as last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. So this verse here, Paul is rejoicing that the saints in Philippi are in care of him again. We don't know exactly all that entails here. Can't be dogmatic about it. But it could be they were sending Paul some aid, whether it was food, money, letters, we don't know, while he was in house arrest. And that it was cut off for some reason. But then he said, once again, it was flowing. And they were showing, that word careful, they were showing their care for him. And they were thinking of him, but they had no means to get the aid to him. So that's what that verse means. The Philippian body was trying to help Paul, and it was cut off, it looks like. And then he's happy that once again, it is flowing to him. So that's our last verse. So from these verses, let's recap. We are told we should pray. We should ask God in supplication for what we need. We should be thankful, trusting versus trusting in ourselves, we're trusting in God, and we're seeking the inner peace that comes via Christ, via the Spirit, that joy, that calm, via the gospel when we're born again, and that in that he keeps us, our hearts and our minds, that we can stay in Christ, because that's where the battle is, right? Ephesians 6 tells us we're in a spiritual battle, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual things. So it's a battle of the mind. And that's where we got to win the mind for Christ. We got to put on the mind of Christ. Go do a word study on the word mind in the New Testament. It's really awesome. And then Christ helps keep us working in us, Philippians 1:6. And then we imitate Paul and Jesus, and that helps us to be like him, Jesus. And that helps us keep our mind and our thoughts. Think of that. If you're trying every day to be like Jesus, what did Jesus do? He ate, he slept, that's a natural function. He worked and labored, he was a carpenter his whole life. If you have to still work and labor, I work and labor in ministry, some men are younger, still have to work and labor. He fellowshipped, he studied the word, we saw him in the synagogue as a child studying. He preached the gospel, traveled and preached the good news, and he restored himself in the Father's creation when he was tired or weak. That's all he did, that's all Paul did, that's all Peter did, that's all we should be doing. Saints, we need to be about the same things. So that is how, from these verses, we can have that life and be kept in the mind of Christ. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, filtering everything through Philippians 4:8, imitating great men of God before us like Christ, God himself, and Paul, and the other disciples. And then we use all those things in our arsenal, our toolkit, our war effort, against the enemy, against our flesh, against the world. So I hope that has edified you, That's a lot in those few little verses. This is why we study God's word verse by verse. Because if you just read it and you don't go back and look at it and kind of pull out, kind of like eating a big meal. If you just shove it all in, you never go, wow, that cob of corn was delicious, honey. Thank you. And so God's word is to be feasted on, and you can't swallow it in a big lump. You eat it one bite at a time. Chew it verse by verse. I'm excited to finish Philippians 4, and then we're going to get into the book of Revelation. Yeah, it's taken me many years to work myself up to where I felt I'm ready to go and do a verse by verse study and offer it to people. I've been studying it and looking at it, but now I'm ready to offer it to my brothers, my sisters, and the world. Revelation, verse by verse, we'll be starting that. So let's end it right there. Next time we're going to come back with verses 11 through 15 of Philippians 4, and we will finish up that book. Thanks for listening. Love you all. Go and check out all the resources at don'tperish.com. Shoot us an email. Traveling, preaching the gospel, working our way to a big event this weekend and then a Sunday church event as well. And edifying our brothers and sisters online as we talk, and they edify us. Check out the Ecclesia gatherings. Check out all the resources. Check out our daily edification audio. Till next time, the Lord lets me come to you again. Keep your mind on Christ. Use that Philippians 4:8 as a filter and go to God in prayer, supplication, thanksgiving. Ask for what you need. He's a good father. He will grant it according to his will. Godspeed to the saints, and God be praised.